the Gospel of John today, if you would. And John chapter 14 and verse 8 is where I want to go this morning. John 14 and verse 8. Man, God is good, right? He is awesome. Praise God. So good to us. I love my electronics. I got it on my iPhone today. I've got it on my Kindle today, so my notes. And so I'm going to kind of go off of both of them. But, you know, I love technology. You know, some of you get that later on. So, but not as much as you see. But anyway, I still love technology, okay? But God is so good to us this morning. But look at John chapter 14, verse 8. Look what Philip asked Jesus. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us, reveal to us the Father, and it is what? Sufficient for us. Lord, show us, reveal to us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Amen. Let's hold up our Bibles. We say this, we love to confess this each time, so let's confess this today bold and loud. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to three or four people this morning and say, "Who's your daddy?" Who's your daddy, right? Wow, who's your daddy? Now, if you're from Indiana, it's who's your daddy? Right? Who's your dad? But if you're, you know, just a little play on words, guys, amen. But you know, it's so vitally important that we know who the Father is. Vitally important. Vitally important. So, you know, when my girls were born, one of the things that I loved about being a dad, but I remember when they were born and they were first born and all three of them, I did this, I would just, you know, hold them and I just ask them, "Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?" And then I'd repeat, "I am." I was so excited about each one of them. "Who's your daddy?" You know, they didn't respond, of course, you know, but I was just letting them know who their daddy was. And then you know what I'd tell them? I'd say, "I love you." I said, "Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you." And you know, that has never changed over the years. I still remind them who their daddy is, me, and I still remind them that I love them. And it's so vitally important. You know, I wanted my girls to have a good basis to grow up on, and I want them to identify and know who their dad was, because it's vitally important that all of us do that, that all of us know who their dad is, right? And it's vitally important. So this morning, I just want to talk to you about who's your daddy. I read the other day about a teacher who took it on her to have a breakfast club for children that would come to school, and they were hungry, and they had no food, and so she supplied food for them every morning. It's something that she wanted to do, and she is interviewed, and she was asked, she said, "You know, why do you do this?" And she said, "Well, I found out that, you know, many of these children come from broken homes, and they don't have a father there, and their father's absent, and so when they come in, they're struggling, they don't have any food," and she said, "I just wanted to take on them and feed them and help them and, you know, let them know." And they pressed a little bit further and said, "Well, what do you mean by broken home?" She said, "Well, a lot of these, you know, children that come to me in the mornings said their actual mothers are teenagers themselves." Wow. So their moms are actually teenagers themselves, and said a lot of them, you know, just don't even know who their dad is, and said, you know, a lot of these moms now have boyfriends and they could care less. And I thought about that, and I thought, wow, man, you know, we are really in a crisis in America, because there's so many children that grow up and they never know who their dad is. They never have the privilege of growing up with their dad. And so, you know, they have a misconstrued identity and they grow up. And, you know, a lot of times the reasons that kids turn bad because they had a bad dad. It's just true. And we are really in a society anymore where we're caught in a fatherless society. I am so blessed and so privileged that I got to raise my kids. What a blessing that is. But you know, I understand the flip side of that a little bit, because I lost my dad when I was a teenager. And I was 17 years old. I was in high school. I was actually a senior. I was a young senior, but I was in high school when my father suddenly passed away. And you know, even today, I thought about all the times of the things I would love to ask my dad. But by the grace of God, I got out of the Adam family. I didn't say Adams, by the way. Some of you will get that later on. Amen. And I was adopted in by his grace into God's family. And so, you know, I inherit a father that knew me more intimately than my earthly father did and had greater plans for me probably than even my earthly father did. So I'm so blessed today because, no, did I grow up not having a dad to lean on and to, you know, discover things? But you know what? It didn't hinder me. In fact, I had greater opportunities probably than I'd ever had. And so I'm so thankful today for my heavenly father. Amen. Because, you know, in Adam's line, speaking of Adam, you know Adam, the first guy here on earth, right? Adam's line, you know, he wasn't that great a father. His son became a murderer. He was the first murderer. And so I'm so glad that I've been adopted in to the family of God. Amen. And that I have an eternal father who loves me unconditionally and forever and has a great plan for my life. So I don't know how your dad was or your experience of dad, but you know, it's very, very important theologically that we have a clear understanding of what type of God he is and who he is. Because if we get that wrong, if we have a wrong understanding of who God is, what he's like, what type of God is he, if we get that wrong, then everything else is wrong in our theology. So it is imperative that we get that right. So when you ask yourself, who's my daddy, spiritually, you have to have a clear understanding of who the Father is. And let me tell you this morning, he's a good, good daddy. He is really good, really, really good. And he loves you so much this morning. Amen. He has unconditional love for you this morning. Wow. In the Old Testament, no one dared to speak of the Almighty God as Father. It was a foreign concept to them. But here came Jesus alone, and look in Matthew 6:9. When Jesus came, what did he introduce? He introduced God as our Heavenly Father. But in the Old Testament, he was a mystery to many of them. I mean, they had parts of the understanding and parts of the revelation, and Ezekiel had a vision, and Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and I saw all these cherubims around him and all these things, but they never had a full understanding and a full revelation of who God is and who the Father is. So, but Jesus came along and he said, and he taught us that he is our Heavenly Father, that he is a Father. Amen. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he actually mentioned Father 16 times. So he wanted us to understand who God is. He is so good. Amen. He is so good. Amen. Before Jesus came along, no one called God Father. They you know, addressed him in this almighty majesty and all these different, you know, dialogues they had about him, but they never, ever revealed him as Father. The saints of the Old Testament, you know, had many names. They had Jehovah Jireh, my provider. They had Jehovah Nissi, my banner. Jehovah Rapha, all great names, my healer. But no one knew him and addressed him as Father. But Jesus came and revealed him as Father. In fact, over in Mark 14:36, let's look at this a second. Mark 14:36. Wow. Look what he said here. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me, nevertheless not what I will, but what you will. How did Jesus address him? Abba is the Greek word for daddy. So not only did he reveal him as Father, but he went even further and he says, he's daddy. Who's your daddy? You know, when the girls were growing up, they never came to me when they wanted something and sat down beside me or sat on my knee and said, "Oh, Father, thou high and mighty, handsome Father, the Father who holds the checkbook, Father. Father," no, they never did that. What did they do? They crawl up my lap and say, "Daddy." And when they said "Daddy," they had my attention. Right? Why? Because I love them. They identified me as their father, but as their daddy, because they love me and I love them. And when they said "Daddy," my heart was open. They'd say, "Daddy, I'd like this." And you know what? Daddy would try his best to get it for him. And I've done that ever since. Boy, Philip, I'm glad you're marrying her, eh? You know, it's like, wow, thank you, Lord, for those sons from afar, right? Man, thank you, Holly, we may have some money. Whoa, woohoo, wow. You know when you raise girls, you know how you spell that, right? M-O-N-E-Y, girls, M-O-N-E-Y. Boys, it's like, hey, tennis shoes, jeans, t-shirt, man, you're all set. Girls, no, Daddy, I need matching, you know, shoes to go with my earrings. And Dad, I need a t-shirt to match my jeans. And Dad, I need my nails done. And Dad, I need my hair done. And Dad, I need this. And Dad, I need that. And oh my goodness, Dad. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, guys. Praise God. It's all good, right? Right? So true. So true. But Jesus came along and he said, listen, he's not only Father, guys. He's Daddy. He is Daddy. He loves you so much, amen, that he revealed him as Abba, as Daddy. And if you go to Israel today and you'd go around to the playgrounds and you'd hear the little children, they'd cry out, "Abba, Abba." They're saying, "Daddy, Daddy." Man, what a powerful thing to understand God as Daddy, right? So, you know, the purpose that Jesus came, the whole thing, you know, a lot of people ask about, you know, theologians will say, well, what did Jesus talk about a lot? Well, you know, Jesus did talk a lot about money. He talked a lot about love. But you know what Jesus' purpose was? His purpose coming was to reveal the Father and how much he loved you and how much he cared for you and what a plan he has for your life. It's a good plan. Amen. It's a good plan. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a purpose. Amen. Give you a destiny. God's got plans and purpose for your life. At 17, you know, I was out there and I was lost, man. I grew up in an unspiritual home. If you grew up in a spiritual home or a home that was a Christian home, you consider yourself to be a blessed person. You are extremely blessed if you grew up in a Christian home. If you have both parents or you have a parent today that loves you and you grew up in that place, you consider yourself a blessed person. Wow, I didn't. Man, I didn't know what was going on in life, but somebody came that loved God and introduced me to Jesus Christ. And it changed my life forever as a young man. Still changed my life. Amen. At that time, God, you know, at a very early age, when I was just about 18, God called me into the ministry. And I'm like, whoa, man, what's this? Amen. And God has taken us places and shown us things and been so good to me. Wow, give me the most beautiful wife in the world. Give me 3 beautiful daughters and son-in-laws that take care of them. Amen. Praise God. And it's good. Amen. And God is good, and he's got such a good plan for you. Don't think your life is over or wasted. Amen. God's got hope for you. He cares about you this morning. He is so good. Can anybody say amen this morning? Amen. Amen. He is so good this morning. Amen. So Jesus came. He came to reveal the Father. That's what Jesus came to do. Look at John 17, 25 through 26. Jesus said, "I do what I see my Father doing," and that's what he does. And Jesus said, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they that know you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to do what? Continue to do what? Make you known." John 20, 17, 25, 26. I want to continue to make you known. That's the whole thing. Jesus is wanting to continue to reveal the Father to us, guys. Amen. Jesus is in the business of making the Father known. So what is God like? What is God like? What comes into your mind when you think about God? What comes into your mind? Your picture of God is the single most important thing you'll ever discover. Your view of God matters. What is God really like? In the Old Testament, they had visions of God. They had a partial understanding, but they didn't have a full revelation of the Father. So in the past, Hebrews says, look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us how? By his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and what? The express image. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the express image of God. And if you go back to John 14, verse 9, look at John 14, verse 9. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and it's going to make us happy. We're going to be satisfied. You know, look at John 14, 9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you as long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen who? The Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? If you've seen Jesus, guys, you've seen the Father. Amen. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. But, you know, a lot of people have a terrible understanding of God. They think God's a bookkeeper, and he's recording all their sins. And perhaps someone told you that when you get to heaven, it's going to be played back. Everything you've done when you get there, it's all going to be played back. Right? Anybody ever heard that before? I want to tell you, God's not like that. God's not in the exposure business. He's in the cover-up. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Not only does it cover, but it's forgiven. He's forgiven every one of them. Already, you're already forgiven. In Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Everything. That's the love of the Father. That's what God has done for you. Amen. You may think he's a bookkeeper, or maybe you think he's an ineffectual sovereign who lets the universe, you know, run on autopilot, and everything that happens in your life is his will. Well, if I get sick, God ordained it. How many has ever heard that? If my baby dies, it's because God took him home. Boy, I've heard that. I had a family, friends of ours that we knew that had a baby, lost a baby, and they built their whole theology on that God took her home because he needed her. I had people come to me at my dad's funeral, and they tried to comfort me the best they could, and they put their arms around me as a young 17-year-old boy and said, you know, your dad's in a better place. God really needed him. And in my mind, I thought, that is a lie. God didn't need him as much as I did. I needed him. So I had to come to the conclusion that God didn't take him. Do you know things happen in this life and it's not God, and God had nothing to do with it? And you know bad things happen and God had nothing to do with it? But everybody wants to blame God? And God had nothing to do with it. If you get up on this roof today and you decide to jump off this roof, there's something called the law of gravity. And you know what? I almost guarantee you, because the law of gravity is set in place by the Lord, that when you hit that ground, you're going to get hurt. More likely, you might die. So I wouldn't advise you breaking those natural laws that are in place. And God had nothing to do with that. We blame everything and so much. It's an act of God. There is an enemy out there, you know. His name is the devil, right? So we blame everything on God, you know. God took him home. God's not like that. How do you know? Because Jesus isn't like that. And if Jesus isn't like that, God's not like that. Jesus is not a fatalist. He is not. Amen. He is not a fatalist. His desire was to see the Father's will done on earth as it is in heaven. How is it is in heaven today? It is wonderful. There is no death in heaven. There's no dying. There's no sickness. There's no poverty. And God says, your kingdom come here as it is there. That's his will. Amen. Whoa, yeah, give God some praise. Amen. That is His will for you. It's His will for you to walk in divine health. God does not put sickness on you. It's kind of like we got this dichotomy of God and Jesus. You know, oh, God puts the sickness on me so Jesus can heal me. Really? Really? Honestly? You know? Wow, God is not like that. Man. In fact, I want to tell you something. A lot of people think, you know, they got in their mind, wow, sin puts you in danger of an angry God. God hates sinners. God plans to crush them under His feet. God's not like that. In fact, I want to tell you something. God's the best friend of sinners. If you're a sinner, God's your best friend. You may not think that because of religion and what theology and people have taught you, but I'm going to tell you, if you're a sinner, God's your best friend. In fact, Jesus hung with them. In fact, Jesus came for them. He said, those that are whole don't need a physician, but those that are sick. Yes. He's come to redeem you, to give you a great life. He came to, and really, He's already forgiven of every sin in the world, so just receive it and accept it. God the Father and God the Son don't have separate agendas. Oh my gosh. God's not in heaven recording your sins while Jesus is forgiving them. Isn't that awesome? I love that. Amen. Wow. Nor is He giving you sickness so Jesus can heal you. The Father and the Son are one. They are identical. Amen. They are the same. Amen. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might what? Have life and have it more abundantly. Look at John 10:30. It's awesome. John 10:30. What does it say? And I and my Father are what? They're one. When you've seen Jesus, you saw Him. He's one. Amen. You know, Moses couldn't wrap his head around this, and all these prophets couldn't do it. They just had a partial revelation. But Jesus came in the full revelation to reveal the Father to us. Amen? Wow. He was the full revelation of the Father. God loves you this morning. Look at John 1:18. It says, no one has ever seen God but the one and the only Son, who is Himself God and is what? Closest relationship with the Father, John 1:18, has made Him known. Well, what kind of God does Jesus reveal? Well, look at this scripture that most of you can quote, but we always forget this second part of it. John 3:16, 17. This is the God that Jesus came to reveal. Look what He says. For God so loved the world. Turn to somebody and say, that's you, believe it or not. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now look at this next verse. This is where, you know, so many people stop at 16. They go, wow, that's great. This is even better almost, guys. Look at this. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but what? That the world through Him might be saved. God didn't send His Son in to condemn it or to kill it. He came that you might be saved, that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. He revealed a loving Father. Amen. God sent Jesus because He wants us to know how much He loves us. He's not interested in condemning us or treating us as we deserve. Hello? His desire is to rescue us, every last one of us. Hallelujah. Every one of us, God wants to do that for. Amen. He loves your neighbors. He loves your children. He loves your in-laws. He loves your outlaws. He loves the derelicts. He loves the rapists. He loves the homosexuals. He loves everyone. Pastor, you're sounding like you're preaching unconditional love. That's exactly what I'm preaching. God's unconditional love and grace for you. Oh, man, but you don't know what I did last night. No, but God does, and He loves you, and He already forgave you. So stand up, receive it, let it empower you to overcome everything instead of succumbing to it. It gives you the power to overcome. Amen. God loves you that much. Yeah, I'm preaching good. Wow. Amen. Look at John 1:14. Look at John 1:14, one of my favorite verses, you know. And we're going to drop down to 17. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's full of grace. Full of grace. Drop down to verse 17. Full of grace and truth. Amen. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through who? Jesus Christ. Wow. Some imagine that God gives us the law while Jesus gives us grace. You know, God hammers us with judgment, and here comes Jesus, and He gives us grace, and He cuddles us and loves us. But the good news declares that Jesus is the embodiment of the Father's grace. He is the embodiment of the Father's grace. Life is full of cares and worries, but Jesus said, "Do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows your needs." Wow. Wow. Well, who are you this morning? Let me tell you who you are. You are your father's, daddy's, deeply loved child. It ain't nothing like a daddy's love. I will never be able to explain it to my children how deeply, profoundly I love them. It's an amazing thing. And if you've experienced fatherhood, guys, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. It's an amazing thing. But I cannot express to you in words how much our Heavenly Father loves us today. And you know, did my kids make mistakes? Very few. I never had to, you know, get on them too much. I mean, they're almost perfect. I'm telling you. So Kay was perfect until she was, from 1 to 2, she wasn't too perfect. She kept us awake. She cried all the time. She was a mess, you know. I mean, just, you know. She turned 2, she was perfect, you know, in all of her ways. It was just like that, you know. Elise was born, and she just, you know, she was perfect until she was 2. And then she was like, put me down, let me go, I'm going, you know. I remember she was a little girl in the pool one day, and she was swimming with some little kids out there in the pool, and some little boy came up to her and, you know, started to mess around, and what did she say? She said, "Don't tell me what to do, boy." I love it. It was classic. So hey, Philip, you may want to hear that, right, brother? So, no, man. She's amazing. I mean, yeah, she's perfect in all of her ways, in Dad's eyes as well. So, you know, and Kay is too. It's just great. And Crystal, our oldest daughter is too. That's who you are loved. Why are you here? Because your father loved you. That's why you're here. Why are you here listening to this morning? Because God loved you. He brought you here. Why are you listening by Periscope? Because God loves you so much. He brought you to this. You just didn't, let's just tune in and see what that's about. No, God loves you this morning. Unconditionally, He loves you. Amen. He's got a plan for your life. In fact, you are His dream come true. God says, whoa. He loves you in all your mistakes, all of your mess. God loves you in your mess. He loves you. You say, well, is God mad at me? Nope. In fact, He rejoices over you with singing every day. Wow. Can He forgive me? Already did. Already did, man. Does He love me for who I am? No, He just thinks you're great. He thinks you're great. Amen. You're one of a kind. You're special. You're His delight. In fact, the Bible says you're the apple of His eye. Amen. You know, I love John, you know, the writer, the gospel writer, because he had that revelation. Because you look at his writings, he'll go through there and he'll pin in there. So cool. He says, and the disciple that Jesus loved. Amen. Because he knew he had a revelation of who he was and how much Jesus loved him. Do you have that revelation this morning? When you do, it empowers you guys. It empowers you in life. It just gives you a total new perspective of life, that God is with me every day. Even in my mess, in my mistakes, God's with me. He loves me. He doesn't reject me. You know, I used to think I had to get saved every summer at youth camp, or at least every Sunday. Mostly every Sunday. So I was usually the first one down at the altar when the altar calls were given. I was down there crying, oh, God, save me, save me. I didn't realize he saved me years ago. I've been saved several times. I think I've been baptized about five. You know? Oh, man, it's like the little boy one time. I would close with this little boy one time. He was kind of a, you know, little rascal in church. He was always giving the pastor a headache, and just kind of, you know, finally he decided one day to give his heart to Jesus. He was going to get baptized. And so, you know, the pastor said, all right, this is my opportunity, you know. So he had the little boy, and he got him up there, and he said, do you believe, son? And the little boy said, yes, pastor, I believe. And he dunked him, and he held him under. And he started fraying a little bit, and he brought him back up, and he's kind of gasping for breath. He said, do you believe? And he said, yes, and he dunked him back under. He's gasping again. He brought him back up, and he said, son, do you believe? And he said, yes, I believe. And he dunked him back under again, and he has held him under there the longest time. And they finally brought him up, and he's just gasping, gasping. He said, son, do you believe? And he said, yes, I believe. You're about to drown me. Stand this morning, amen. God is good, guys. God is good. Get a revelation of that goodness, his love for you. Understand you're favored every day. Amen. Grace is upon you. Grace, charis, favored. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's who you are. You're favored by God today. He is so good in your life. You know, every time goodness shows up, just recognize it and say, thank you, Father. You're good to me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey this morning, but it's a good place to begin right now. You know, I don't believe in embarrassing people. We don't embarrass people. God doesn't embarrass us, so why should I embarrass you? I'm not going to embarrass you. But I do ask you for just a moment just to bow your head, if you would, so kindly. And this morning, if this message impacted your life and you say, Pastor, you know what? That impacted my life today. I believe God's got a future for me, a hope for me. What do you do to receive Christ? You just believe. You believe what he's done for you. Amen. Wow, you just believe it. And when you believe it, it's already done. It's already finished. He died for you. He rose again. All your sins have been forgiven. Amen. He loves you unconditionally today. So today, if you believe it, raise up your hand a second and say, you know what, I believe that. Amen. I receive it today. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just pray a second. Say, thank you, Jesus, that you've come into my life, that you have a great plan for me. I receive everything that you have for me. You're a good, good father. I call you daddy. Lord, thank you for providing healing, salvation, emotional healing, every type, spiritual, physical, and emotional. I am healed today because of Jesus. You have a great plan for my life. I receive that plan. Thank you, Lord, for guiding and leading me in every step. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God some praise this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Woo! God is good. All right. Y'all can be seated a second. I want to share something with you. If you're a guest today, you can hang around because it's pretty cool. So we're glad you're here this morning, though.